The next presentation is by Dr. Kathleen Seed-Call, and she will talk to us regarding delayed and foregone care among low-income uninsured adults. I do have a bio for you. Maybe I can introduce you.
Sure.
Okay. So Dr. Kathleen Call is a professor in the University of Minnesota School of Public Health, and she's an investigator in the State Health Access Data Assistance Center, SHADAC. If any of you have signed up for that email, you know, alert, you would know that they are a very active group. I have been receiving lots of those informative emails from them. And this SHADAC has been funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. Dr. Call's research interests include disparities in access to healthcare and health insurance and in developing community-driven solutions to the problem of access. Thank you, and Dr. Call.
Hi, everybody. I'll keep you moving a little bit today. We should do a stretch break partway through these things. So no disclosures. I want to acknowledge my co-authors, Pamela Jo Johnson, Jesse Kim McPintor, Tatiana Shippey, Tim Beebe. Our contributors are the disparities team, so this is a community-based project. Also, Wilder Research collected the data, so we couldn't have done this project without them. The funding was through the Department of Human Services in the state of Minnesota. This is our team. It included both staff and leaders from community-based organizations that serve low-income and minority populations within our state. Also, the Department of Human Services, one of our project officer was on this project. It took some negotiating with our community-based partners to let them, to have them allow him to be on the team, but he turned out to be very essential to moving the project forward. So I want to be able to set the stage for this analysis, and that's the lack of health insurance is a known contributor to barriers to access to services. Lack of health insurance is also recognized as a leading cause of race and ethnic disparities and income disparities in access to health care services and disparities in health outcomes. So the ACA is supposed to be moving as many as 16 million people to Medicaid by 2014. So through Medicaid expansions, we're going to see at least a 40% increase of those who, of Medicaid enrollment numbers. That's if all who are eligible will enroll, and we know that that probably won't happen because it has never happened. There's always a significant proportion that aren't insured, that are eligible but don't take up that coverage. So while health insurance is huge, it's kind of simplistic to believe that simply by offering coverage, we're going to see all of the disparities in healthcare services disappear. And indeed, the influential Institute of Medicine report on equal treatment in 2003, actually, they deliberately set aside inequities in health insurance coverage as an explanation for disparities because they really wanted to focus on patient, provider, and system-level barriers to services. And so this project is all about people who are already enrolled in Minnesota healthcare programs. So this is that big umbrella fits underneath it, medical assistance, Minnesota Care, which is for people that are above the Medicaid eligibility criterion, and then general assistance medical care, which has actually been shut down as of 2011, and all those people have moved over to medical assistance as far as we can tell. In 2008, when this data was collected, we had none of the healthcare programs had co-payments for preventive services, so we were already kind of in line with the Affordable Care Act in that we charged no co-pays for any preventive services. So the project goals here are to examine reports of barriers to care and provider discrimination among this insured population, also to examine how the magnitude of barriers and barriers reports and the frequency of provider discrimination reports actually hinder access to healthcare services. So this is based on a population of a statewide survey of people enrolled in Minnesota healthcare programs. We stratified that by race and ethnicity because it was really important to the Department of Human Services to know whether or not they're serving different populations less well than others. They wanted to make sure that we had an equal number of adults and child enrollees within the sample. Parents act as a proxy for the children. It's a mixed mode survey. So we started out with English only mailed surveys and then did telephone follow ups in four different languages. And this was based on the recommendation of our community partners who said if they can't read English, they probably can't read in their own, they won't be able to read within their own language. So it's better to go straight to a telephone survey for those populations. This analysis is focused on the adults in the survey, so about 2,000 adults. So the main indicators of unmet need are two. We have foregone care and delayed needed care. So people who said yes to the question, was there any time during the past year you needed medical care but did not get it? And yes to the question, was there any time during the past year when you delayed needed care, delayed getting needed medical care? I'm sorry, I can't read. That you delayed getting medical care that you felt you needed. And I wanted to point out in the survey that those questions actually precede any of the barriers because we were concerned if you went right into kind of what experiences you have in the healthcare system that these would probably be potentially exaggerated. It's hard to say. We didn't do a test of that. So in terms of the questions about barriers, we actually had a really broad array of barriers, and most of this was driven by our community partners. So we took some items from existing surveys and then added to that. So in the area of coverage, it's asking questions about not being sure if they're going to be, so what gets in the way of needed medical services is not being sure if they'll be dropped from the program, not knowing that what the health plan covers, not knowing where to go when they have questions. Within financial area, worry about paying more than they expect, paying more than they can afford, and the insurance won't cover the care that they need, and also concerns about prescription costs. So being hesitant to go in for care because they're not sure if there's going to be a copayment, even though there are no copayments, but again, not knowing what those services are. Access barriers include difficulty getting an appointment, not knowing where to go, difficulty getting transportation, not being able to see the doctor that they prefer, and also inconvenient office hours. Family and work barriers are pretty straightforward. Not being able to take time off or not being able to get a sitter when they need to get in for services. And in terms of provider-related issues, we had concerns about the doctors who don't speak their language, who don't understand their culture, and this is across the board. All the different ethnic groups agreed to this. Also, that the doctor doesn't or the provider doesn't respect their religious beliefs, that the providers are not trustworthy. And I will say that a lot of people would endorse that doctors aren't trustworthy. But when we ask questions about their own provider, they're very satisfied with the provider that they have. So it's kind of an interesting enigma. Also, that the provider's office is not welcoming. So not just the provider, but when they go into the clinic, how are they treated there? So we're interested in the magnitude of these problems. So we try to contrast those who report these are big problems or small problems compared to that this isn't a problem at all. And in terms of discrimination, the survey included measures of discrimination by providers based on gender, ability to pay, being enrolled in a public health care program, and also race, ethnicity, or nationality. And consistent with our attempts to get at the levels of perceived barriers, we were interested in those who indicated that they were treated unfairly sometimes were categorized as having some discrimination, while those reporting usually or always were categorized as reporting frequent discrimination, and those reporting they never were treated unfairly on all these discrimination items are the referent group. So we hypothesized that reporting big problems accessing care compared to no problems, reporting frequent discrimination compared to no discrimination, will be at increased odds of delaying care or foregoing needed services. I know you can't read this very well. Red is bad. Red means it's significant, so it's really... And I wore red to just match my slides. The slide presents crosstabs, really looking at the adults comparing those who report no delayed care or foregone care to those who do report delayed or foregone care. And you can see that there's significant differences in terms of race, ethnicity, age, education status, and enrollee health status. Some of the things that weren't significant are marital status, location within the state, which is kind of a surprise to us, employment status, and gender. So moving on to the results, the light-colored bar is the proportion who report no problems. the medium color is some problems, and then dark is big problems. So among those who recorded delayed care, so this is only those who say, yes, I delayed care in the past year. And among those, you can see that there's significantly higher percentages reporting that they delayed care for those who report some problems. So the dark bars are much longer than those who report no problems whatsoever. And then you can see also there's a real difference between the proportion who report delaying care versus foregone care. And so foregone care is kind of our harder outcome and the one of more interest to us, even though we're concerned when people delay care as well. But I think if I asked any of you in this room whether or not you delayed care at some point in the past year, you'd probably say, yeah, I should have gone in 3 months earlier for my, for a visit. So that is not unusual, but it is interesting to see that we're seeing much more higher reports of delayed care when they report problems with any of these problems. So this is a set of logistic regressions, so six different logistic regressions looking at the impact of these reports of barriers and the magnitude of those barriers compared on each of the outcomes, delayed care versus foregone care. So reports, how did I do that? Sorry about that. Reports of any problems, big or small, compared to no problems or any discrimination, frequent or some, compared to no discrimination, significantly increased the odds of delayed care in the past year. Additionally, big problems and frequent discrimination significantly increased the odds of foregoing needed care in the past year compared to those who report no discrimination problems. So those who report some problems with coverage, coverage barriers, access barriers, and provider-related barriers have significantly increased odds of foregone care in the past year. So to wrap it up, insured adults who report experiencing any provider discrimination or barriers in any, in accessing health care service have increased odds of delaying needed care and increased in three of the six barriers. Only frequent discrimination and big problems had a consistent effect on foregoing needed health care among low-income adults that are insured. So enrollment in health insurance doesn't guarantee access to health care services. If other barriers are not addressed, the expansion of coverage through the ACA is actually not going to translate into improved access to needed healthcare services. It's certainly a step in the right direction. I'm a strong supporter, and I'll go down in this room and say I'm a strong supporter of the ACA. So expanding coverage without reducing these other barriers is not going to eliminate disparities in access to services. Thank you.